Would you please join me in prayer? Merciful and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The problem with your generation, he said, is that you all have thin skin. You need to toughen up. This is what he said after an encounter I had talking about what was going on in the news. He called me a few names that were highly offensive. And when I told him that those names were highly offensive and that he wasn't sticking to the subject at hand, he said I had thin skin. It's almost like if we disagree with each other nowadays, we have to demonize those we disagree with, further castigate them into boxes. Whatever happened to decency? Politeness. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of decency or politeness where we pretend that we do not disagree, but the kind where there's actual neutral ground of conversation. The kind of decency where we can have a conversation without resorting to attacking others, name calling. And so I started to think, I started to wonder, is it true that my generation just has thin skin? Has there ever been a time where people had the ability to attack another person verbally and it not be seen as offensive? And you know what? I couldn't find a time. I did find this, though. There was a time in the history of the United States that honor and shame were driving forces for a certain segment of our society. It mattered what people said about you. It mattered if your honor was called into question. If somebody had publicly humiliated another, insulted them, attacked their character, their family's honor, there was formal recourse. They could challenge the offender to a duel. Swords or guns. Samuel Johnson once said, "A man may shoot the man who invades his character as he may shoot him who attempts to break into his house." See, in the public sphere, the way people talked to each other mattered. One had to watch what they said. If they didn't, it could cost them their life. One resource I read said this: the practice of dueling was also thought to increase civility throughout society. To avoid being challenged to the duel, gentlemen were careful not to insult or slight others. The courtly formal manners this time period is famous for their stately dress, the bowing, toasting, and flowery language. They were designed to convey honorable attention in attentions and avoid giving offense. Jealousies and resentments had to be repressed and covered with politeness. Insulting each other had the potential to cost people in the early days of the United States. One had to be willing to have their bodies cash checks their mouths were writing. Robert E. Howard, the author of the book Conan, did anybody know this book? He said this. He said, "Civilized men are more discourteous than savages, because they know they can be impolite without having their skulls split." And there's some famous duels in history. For instance, former Treasury Secretary Alexander Hamilton called Vice President Aaron Burr bankrupt by redemption, except by the plunder of his country. This led to the two men dueling, Hamilton was killed. Abraham Lincoln almost engaged in a duel, but their negotiators, called seconds, were able to make a deal at the last minute. And in this type of society, people were not able to say no to a duel because the person who refused would be publicly shamed. Their social standing, their family's honor would be diminished. If a person refused a challenger, notices would go up around the city calling the man a coward and renouncing him publicly. This led to social exclusion. It was shameful. It seems like it was just easier to be polite and decent. So when I was thinking about being called thin-skinned, I maybe realized that maybe we've just gotten to the point in our society where free speech has devolved into cheap speech. We don't actually have to be decent anymore because it won't cost us anything. Maybe we should go back to when America was great and reinstitute the duel. I guarantee that this would change the tone of conversation that we have with one another. But then I found this quote. Between 1798 and the Civil War, the U.S. Navy lost 2/3 as many officers to dueling as it did in combat at sea. I couldn't find the exact numbers, but it seemed like a lot of death to me. Honestly, I don't believe that what we need to do is to escalate conflict. We don't need to start asking people to step outside when we are offended, or like in the Old West, challenge someone to a quick draw gun battle. Escalation is not the answer. See, it seems to me what we really need to do is to be able to claim in public spaces the need for decency. How does this start? How does decency begin? Well, we pray. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We humbly go to God looking at ourselves. Declare to God that we are in need of forgiveness, that we have sinned, that we are not perfect. And we ask God to forgive our sins in the same way we forgive others' sins. These are hard words because it causes us to turn inward and look at how we forgive others, because we are asking God to forgive us in the same way we forgive other people. See, if we expect people to say the right thing every time, we're not allowing the grace to be forgiven each time we misspeak. We have to be willing to recognize that everyone is not going to say the right thing all the time. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Each of us is something of a schizophrenic personality, tragically divided against ourselves. A persistent civil war rages within all of our lives. And to repeat with the Apostle Paul, the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." This simply means that there is some good in the worst of us and some evil in the best of us. When we discover this, we are less prone to hate our enemies. It's a good quote. See, forgiveness we receive from God and forgiveness that we give to others recognizes that we are not a people who are very good at being perfect. We can't be all the time. We are fallible. And I think we need to recognize this even in public spaces. This last week, a certain political candidate's wife was accused of using another person's speech material. Something they first denied, and then the speechwriter came out and took blame, claiming that it was her mistake. A whole day's news cycle was put into action, claiming that plagiarism was a character defect in the campaigns, in the candidate's campaign. And yet more news cycles show that the ones who were quick to condemn were doing the very thing that they hate. They claimed they hate. See, both sides of the aisle uses other people's speeches. It's nothing new in politics. We so want to remove the speck from the other person's eye when we don't look at the plank in our own. We need some decency in this country. Some genuine forgiveness. As God forgives us, so we should look to understand and find out why other people are doing what they do and forgive them. I think today, Christians have the real potential to stand in the public sphere and say, wait a minute, let's see what happens. We have the potential to unite instead of divide. We have the potential to call upon an even greater power and seek wisdom, all the while knowing that we are flawed. We are flawed, and we know only in part. It is easy to demonize groups of people. But whatever happened to actually engaging in real, honest, polite, and decent conversation? Now, you may be thinking to yourself that dueling is a good idea. It would shut people up. But we need to escalate conflict. But the fact of the matter is that Christians have no right to escalation. What we do have a right to is de-escalate, to find another way, to use our words wisely, to not rush to judgment. See, the farce is that violence solves problems. And it was made evident during the time of Jesus when the religious leaders of that time decided to kill Jesus because they didn't like what he was saying. They used violence as a means of dealing with their own hard hearts rather than letting the word of God speak to them. The ridiculousness of the religious leaders during the time of Jesus is that they believed they could solve their Jesus problem with violence, when in reality, his death and resurrection were the beginning of a movement that would claim that violence is not the way of God, but of peace, mercy, and loving others as we love ourselves. He who has not sinned casts the first stone, and yet we lob our words like stones at people. The way of Jesus is different. So my dear family of God, my call this week is to decency, to learn to be polite for the sake of having a decent public sphere again, to learn to once again have conversations with people you disagree with, and most of all, start by trying to remember to forgive others, because we pray every week that God would forgive us in the same way. Amen.